Studio 360.
My name is Ted Gioia. I'm a writer that focuses on music, movies, literature, and popular culture. And my guilty pleasure is The Godfather, Part 3.
Really? Godfather 3? The credits from the second Godfather are better than Godfather 3.
Massacres are a lot like sitting through Godfather 3. Once is enough.
You like the third Godfather?
I've never met anyone who liked the third Godfather.
I will admit it in public.
You've desecrated a classic film. This is worse than Godfather 3.
Whoa. Let's not say things we can't take back.
Now, I have a different view of this film. I believe this is the essential conclusion to the Corleone saga. I think all of us, we remembered how great the first two movies were. And when we saw the third one, I'm sure I'm not alone, but the poor casting of Sofia Coppola really was a disappointment.
Why are you doing this? Why am I doing this? You're using me just to pull the strings. Dad, I want this to bring me closer to you.
And the Michael Corleone we see in the third part of the installment, he's beset by diabetes, he's got self-doubts, he's got anxieties. I don't think Pacino was ever completely comfortable in that role.
When I'm under stress, sometimes this happens. To come to you on such a delicate matter was difficult for me.
But I also see the other elements that really deserve more credit. I mean, there are extraordinary scenes there. There's an opening scene where Andy Garcia, as Vincent Mancini, has two people try to break into his apartment, and it's a very vivid scene in how he deals with them and dispatches them.
I want to do something to convince you. Don't get frightened. Don't do any sudden movements. Just watch me, all right? Did you hear what I said? Okay.
There's this amazing scene where a helicopter tries to do a hit going through the ceiling of a hotel ballroom. I know people told me that I was supposed to dislike that scene. And they pointed out all the reasons. It was not at all plausible or realistic that if you were going to kill somebody in the mafia, you would not rent a helicopter. I mean, this is, every step of it made no sense. But the actual experience to me of seeing that scene is exhilarating. I mean, remember North by Northwest, which someone tries to kill Cary Grant with a crop dusting plane? Well, you know, give me a break. No one in their right mind would ever commit an assassination with a crop dusting plane. But cinematically, it's riveting. I'm a sucker for gangster movies. I'll watch The Godfather every time it's on TV. I'll watch Goodfellas. I mean, I'll watch these over and over again. I probably know a ridiculous amount of dialogue memorized that I will ad lib in my own true life experiences from day to day. And these movies celebrate vengeance. They celebrate the vendetta. And the brave thing that Coppola did in this final installment is he breaks away from the formula. In the first two parts, Michael Corleone is able to wreak vengeance on his enemies. People have become accustomed to the gangster winning these battles. This is a very dangerous message to send to people. There's a moral lesson. There's a lesson. I know this word moral sounds very heavy, but there are lessons for our own life. The true story of the Godfather trilogy is not a man who does all of these acts of violence, but his attempts to extricate himself from the web they tie around him.
Go on, my son. Go on. I ordered the death of my brother. I killed my mother's son.
I killed my father's son.
And I think people find that uncomfortable because they want to feel that Corleone will triumph, he will achieve all his goals, he'll legitimize the family, he'll get them out of criminal business and into legal activities. People are rooting for him at every step along the way. He has to pay the price for his power hunger and for all the moral laws that he broke in his rise to the top. And I think him faltering and suffering so tremendously from all the violence that he inflicted on others, I think the story of the Corleone family does not make real sense unless you have this final installment.
A bigger problem is the casting of Sofia Coppola, who is out of her acting league here. She's supposed to be Andy Garcia's love interest, but no sparks fly.
Francis Ford Coppola's daughter had to bear the criticism and the pain and the suffering of him making this particular decision. And the odd irony of this is the exact echoing of what happens in the plot of The Godfather Part 3, in which the daughter pays the penalty for the overreaching of the father.
Mary, please.
So in a way, even in its flaw, The Godfather Part 3 emphasizes the key message that you get out of the movie. I think audiences back then weren't ready for it. In many ways, I think audiences are more prepared for it now. When you look at Breaking Bad, the main protagonist started out with heroic qualities, but with each passing episode and each passing season, he became more of a villain.
Skyler?
Oh, the sacrifices that I have made for this family.
I believe the same thing is true of The Godfather Part 3.
I spent my life protecting my family!
Back when it came out in 1990, I don't think people were ready for a character that morphs the way Corleone does and is eventually punished for all his bad decisions. But nowadays, we're able to accept that level of sophistication. And this is a movie that I believe, at some point in the future, 5, 10, 15, 20 years from now, will be recognized.
Just when I thought I was out.
As one of the finest American movies of its era.
They pull me back in.
Ted Gioia's book, Music, A Subversive History, will be out in October. Sam Kim produced that segment of Studio 360's Guilty Pleasures series. And by the way, if there's some cultural thing, like The Godfather Part 3, that you love that the rest of the world just does not, let us know about it at incoming@studio360.org.